probably not the best thing to have me preach after that. My mommy heart is full, and when mommy hearts are full, they want to cry. And I will try to hold that back. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 through 21. May the word of God fall fresh on your ears this day. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is justified not by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And we have come to believe in Christ Jesus so that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by doing the works of the law, because no one will be justified by the works of the law. But if, in our effort to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have been found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. But if I build up against the very things that I once tore down, then I demonstrate that I am a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Earlier, you heard me ask the kids to tell me about how they make friends. Who do they make friends with? How do they know someone wants to be their friend? I remember being in elementary school and deciding that I was going to have the courage, and this was a big deal for me because I was very, very shy, very, very introverted. There was this little girl, Kristen, who I wanted to be friends with. So I went home, and I had this little bracelet. It was different colored little pearls on it. And, of course, they weren't real. And then I made a little envelope, and I had these little letters that you could scratch off. They were in gold onto the paper. And so I scratched off Kristen onto this beautiful little envelope. It was so very pretty. Put that little bracelet in there with a little note saying that I wanted to be her friend. And I mustered up all the courage that I could to ask her to be my friend, and I gave her that envelope. Nothing ever came of it. We didn't become friends. We became acquaintances. But it was a big deal for me to take that first step, that first initiative. I've never been real good about working a room. I've learned to do that. As an introvert, you have to learn to be extroverted. And, but even several years ago, even about 10 years ago, I had an interview with some individuals and the bishop to get into a program called Advanced Pastoral Leadership. And I was so very shy. So I went in there with my head down, answered their questions, thought I completely bombed the interview, walked out, and I heard the bishop. She said, "Somebody teach that girl how to work a room," you know, because I was so very, very shy. So making friends was never really that easy for me. And the thought that God takes the first step to invite us into friendship, that's what part of the grace story is God takes the initiative. It's not that we're inviting God to be our friend. We're actually answering yes to that great initiative, God extending that loving hand. I don't know if you remember those little notes that were passed around in class, "Will you be my friend?" Some of them were more romantic. "Will you be my girlfriend? Will you be my boyfriend? Check the box, yes or no." Do y'all remember that? I mean, it was a big deal to secretly pass those notes and not get caught by the teacher. And then anxiously, if you're the note writer, anxiously awaiting the answer. Were any of you the note writers? Do you remember waiting anxiously to get the answer? What are they going to say? Because there's a 50% chance that the answer is going to be no. Right? And then you're just crushed. I want you to imagine God as that note sender, anxiously awaiting the answer from every single one of us, taking that initiative. When God decided to come to earth in the flesh, to be with humanity as an extension of God's heart, to reveal God's self, God's heart to us, that was the greatest love letter ever sent in that revelation. That God would go to the extent, not just to extend the invitation, but to actually be at humanity's mercy, coming in the flesh. Growing up among people, think about your own experiences, both good and bad. Little Jesus making friends, not making friends, being accepted, being rejected. God offering God's self to that experience. To rise up in courage the last 3 years of his life, knowing that his message, though a message of love and acceptance, was scandalous, would be considered heresy and put his life in danger. And God willing to accept that journey of being at the hands of humanity's justice and lack of mercy. That letter of love overwhelms me, that thought. That a God wanting relationship with every single one of us would say yes to that experience. The one that created the universe, the one whose spirit swept over chaos and brooded over it, thinking about what to create and how to create, and bringing it into formation and giving it life. That very being, creative, powerful, glorious, amazing, would enter into creation himself. Talk about putting yourself out there, right? Wow. Some of you here wonder what that relationship is like. Some of you may not have said yes or no. Some of you may have not checked the box yet and are still thinking about it. Some of you are hoping for that box, well, maybe, kind of thinking about it, kind of a foot in and a foot out. Yeah, this relationship is really, really good, but I don't know if I really want to surrender to it. And if we really think about that option, most of us are there. We say yes, 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 but not quite. I don't really want this unseen being to have control over my life. So yeah, I'll be in a relationship with you, but I'm not going to surrender to it. And that's where many of us stay, with that lack of surrender. Because surrender is hard. We don't do it very, very well. We like to be what we think of as in control. God continues, though, to woo us no matter where we are in that. Whether we haven't checked a box yet, whether we've said maybe, and for some of us, for a few of us who have said, we are all in, yes, yes, yes. We put little hearts all over the letter, right? We have surrendered so completely. But no matter where we are, God continues to woo us, to love us unconditionally. Some of us, what keeps us from checking the box is our own fault, our own guilt, our own shame. That complete surrender where we are afraid of rejection. We forget that God is the first initiator. We think we're the first initiator, as if we're the one sending the letter out. We're like, I don't think I'm just going to send the letter at all, because why would anybody want this mess? Why would anybody want someone who's made so many mistakes? Some of us come in here tormented by a past. Some of us are haunted by dreams at night where we're afraid to fall asleep. Some of us have been hurt so bad, and we wonder, where was God when we were hurting so bad? Why would God ever let this happen to me? What kind of God is that? There's just all kinds of things that keep us from completely comprehending or accepting God's love and God's grace. If it is your own mistakes that keep you from surrendering, if it's your own feelings of guilt and shame, hear these words one more time from Romans. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. Christ did not die for the perfect. Christ died for those who made mistakes and made big ones. Christ didn't just die for those who followed him, who loved him. He didn't just die for those who were loyal to him while he was living, but yet abandoned him when he was on the cross. Christ died for those who put him on the cross. Christ died for the one who put the spear in his side. Christ even died for the one who betrayed him. Hear that word from Romans one more time. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love for us. If there wasn't a more powerful, beautiful love letter extending an invitation to every single one of us, I don't know what is. That letter says, I take you as you are. I take you as you are. All of it. Your brokenness, your wounds, your scars, those places you've tried to patch up and stitch. Those mistakes that you may have committed, and those wounds that you carry that someone else gave you. I take all of it. The beauty of that is, and we'll get into more of that next week, is I think there's something about the Holy Spirit that likes to brood over chaos. Like it is this exciting thing, like, what am I going to create out of this? At the very beginning of Genesis, we see the Spirit of God brooding over the darkness, the chaotic. It has no form. It has no shape. It's this mixed up mess. And it is nothing all at the same time. Sometimes that's a picture of our lives. And God says, I want that. I can make something out of that. I can create something out of that. But unlike that chaos at the very beginning, we have a will. We get a choice whether we're going to surrender our chaos or not. Whether we're going to accept being in relationship with God or not. At the very foundation of it is this deep understanding that God loves you. It's that prevenient grace that we Wesleyans like to talk about. Some of you are very familiar with this. Some of you, it may be new to you. It's that grace that comes before you ever realize God loves you. It's been chasing you all of your life. From the moment you are being created in the womb, God's hand of love is upon you. From the moment you take your first breath, God's love is upon you. You see, your knowing about God isn't what brings God. God brings God every single time, and guess what? God just keeps on coming. Because God is in pursuit of you and me. And it's what God wants. We just get to say yes or no. But even when we say no, God doesn't stop. Even when people say, God doesn't exist, guess what? God doesn't stop. Because that's prevenient grace. I teach our kids, one of the ways you can remember prevenient grace is when you go to a Mexican restaurant, what do they bring you without you asking? Chips and hot sauce. My friends, that is prevenient grace. It comes whether you ask for it or not. That's God's grace. When we say yes, when we check off that box, in that very moment, we are justified. Now, all that brokenness we bring to the relationship that we think is going to hinder this relationship, God's already taken care of it through Jesus Christ. That perfect being, the perfection of Jesus, we get to wear that. Later on in the letter to Galatians, Paul says, you were baptized in Christ and you put on Jesus like a robe, like a new skin. That when God sees you, God sees the perfection of Jesus. We were created in the image of God, and when we put on Jesus, God sees God's image in you. Let me say that again. We were created in the image of God. And boy, can we mess that up. But when we say yes to Christ, we put on Christ and God sees Jesus. God sees God's self in us. God, Christ's will rises up in us, and we will talk more about that next week. But that's justifying grace. What that means is we are a mess. We probably deserve something other than what God is willing to give us. The book of James tells us mercy trumps every single time when you're dealing with God. Here it is. Mercy trumps every single time. God will never reject you. God will never turn you away. Because when you check the yes box, that's it. The only way to break that bond, to walk away from this relationship, is to write another letter and say, I changed my mind. You have that choice at any time because God blessed you with free will. God has been with you every single day of your life. You know that police song, every breath you take, every move you make, I'll be watching you. Talk about a great stalker song, right? That's God. You can't get away from that. But there's still some things that we need to surrender. We are saved by grace alone because God extended the invitation to you and to me. Grace alone. But sometimes we forget that when this grace will set us free, that we try to be in this both-and relationship where yes to God, and we're still holding on to our baggage of painful stuff because we don't know what to do with it. We just kind of stuff it in there. This is your homework this week, is to surrender that. When we surrender these things, it's painful because we got to deal with it all over again, this stuff. To admit that it happened, to admit that it still bothers us, and it makes us feel weak and vulnerable. And I don't know about you, but I don't like feeling that way. But God says, just give it to me, and I will brood over it. Give it to me, and I will create something out of it. Give it to me, and I will heal it. Give it to me, and I will heal your wounds. Give it to me, and I will help carry your burdens. Give it to me, and I will give you peace in the midst of the storm. Give it to me, and I will give you forgiveness in the midst of sin. Give it to me, and I will give you healing in the midst of pain. Just surrender it. So this morning, I extend that invitation to you. What I've learned about the human, we are truly vessels. And I will tell you this, as a vessel, you can only carry so much. It's like any other vessel in your kitchen, in your house. If you keep that tap on and that pitcher, it's going to what? It's going to overflow because that vessel will only hold so much. You too can only hold so much. You can only hold so much energy. You can only hold so much emotion. If you're holding the negative stuff, guess what you can't hold? The good stuff. And the more we hold on to that and we don't let go, the more it gets festers and it takes up more room. We try to stuff it down. And then all of a sudden it's rearing its ugly head and you're like, where did that come from? Well, it's because it's still there. Right? Practice surrender. It may feel weak and vulnerable, but there's some kind of power in it that is so very healing because it is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The one that extends that invitation to you. The one who risked it all to send that love letter do you love me? The very end of the Gospel of John, we hear that. Peter, who had abandoned Jesus, who denied Jesus, and in his own way betrayed Jesus 3 times while Jesus was on trial. I want you to hear those words from Jesus this morning to your very heart. Do you love me? And after Peter gave the answer, Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." And then Jesus asked one more time, "Do you love me? Then feed my lambs." One more time. Do you love me? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.